This morning, I want to share a message entitled, Hold On, Let Go. Say what? Hold On, Let Go. I'm reminded of the story, and you can relate to this in churches like ours that are, we're passionate, we're more charismatic, more Pentecostal. We want the Holy Spirit flowing and moving in our lives and the lives of God's people. And the story where the man came forward in the altar time, and he just needed what he was seeking from God. On one side, there was a brother saying, hold on, brother, hold on. On the other side, another man was praying, let go, man, let go. A woman was heard praying, just give it up, rest and receive. Give it up, rest and receive. Another was praying, press in, take hold, press in, take hold. Now, we can relate to that, and there's a sense in which all of them were saying the right thing. There's truth in all of those. A lot of our life comes down to being able to discern when to hold on and when to let go. There's a myriad of examples in the Scripture of holding on and letting go. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, and God created the woman and gave the woman Eve to the man, Adam. And then that proclamation is made where marriage is ordained that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. There is a leaving, there is a cleaving. There is a letting go, there's a holding on. There's a holding on, there's a letting go. So knowing when to hold on and knowing when to let go can influence the path of your life in dramatic ways. If you're holding on to something when you should be letting go, that can bring trouble. If you're letting go of the very thing you should be holding on to, well, trouble will find you there. So it's important that we learn to discern this in our daily walk with God. Now, I want to focus on a few scriptures out of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, in writing to the young church at Philippi, he is telling them, about you need to have your confidence in Christ, not in who you are and what you've done, but in who Christ is and what he's done. And he talks about his past, how he was Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We know in other places he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a well-known rabbinic leader and teacher of that era. And Paul sums it up by saying, there came a time when I left that behind. When the price tags I had on what I had invested my life in, there came a day when those price tags switched, his values switched. And he had to let go of that and take hold of Christ. So let's look at that scripture in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says it this way. I pick up now where I kind of paraphrased the previous verses. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Isn't that interesting? That we're laying hold of something that Christ has already laid hold of for us. He goes on in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a fascinating Bible study there if we just drill down in all the great stuff in those scriptures. But again, I want to direct your attention this morning to the idea of hold on and let go. Hold on and let go. And I want you to consider with me this morning, when we're thinking about holding on and letting go, the first thing I want you to consider is the place of change in our lives. We like routine, right? That's where ritual really comes from. There can be religious ritual, but there can also be our household rituals. I don't have to be too prophetic to hit a lot of you with one stroke here. When you get up in the morning, quick stop at the restroom, then you make your way to the coffee pot and get your cup of hot. That's probably the routine of a lot of people in here. We're creatures of habit. We like our routines. Nothing wrong with same with traditions. That's how traditions are developed. When people do something, they enjoy doing it, and it can become a tradition in our family. Churches can have traditions. But tradition and routine and ritual become a problem when they get in the way of truth, when they get in the way of our needing to change. You know, well, why would I change? I've always done it this way. Not only did I do it this way, but my dad and mama did it this way, and their dad and mama did it that way. And sometimes change can be tremendously difficult to go through. Oh, come on. Y'all remember how hard it was to shift from 8-track to cassette? Some of you don't, because you don't. What's 8-track, right? And then, my goodness, from cassette to CD, right? But who wants CDs anymore? Unless they're in the kind in the bank. But now it's thumb drives and flash drives and downloads and all that kind of stuff. We live in a world of change, and we can quickly get left behind. But I'm here to announce to you this morning that there are some things that are eternally established, and we better lay hold of them, hang on to them, dig in our toenails, our fingernails, and not let go. Hold on. And yet there are other times when the Lord deals with us and we realize, you know, this is not something essential. As a matter of fact, this now seems to be a hindrance rather than a help. And we need to be able to shift and change. The Bible's all about change. The day you got saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. To a nation erring from God, that God was calling to repentance, he's basically said, if I can get you to turn, then it's going to be a lot better for you. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Change can be good. And some change comes whether we like it or not. I can take a gander in the mirror and be reminded of that. Right? I mean, change is inevitable. But there are some changes that we come to that only come because we make the choice to change. Some of you are attending Grace House now, and you didn't grow up in the church that maybe worship like we do now. Maybe a drum booth on the stage is new. The type of worship. Maybe the language and the scriptures that we focus on from time to time is about the Holy Spirit and how He moves and how He manifests. That may be new. But God led you through a series of choices to bring about a change in what you believe. The place of change in our life. Now, most of us, there's three major decisions that most people make in life. And I'll say it this way: life's master, life's mission, and life's mate. Life's master, who are you going to serve? Now, it was here in our own region, in Muscle Shoals, where Bob Dylan came in and recorded an album. And I started to say Long Train Running, but that's Doobie Brothers. Slow Train? Yeah. And on that album, he recorded the song, Everybody Gotta Serve Somebody. And he was singing the truth. Everybody serves somebody. Maybe yourself. And as he says, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but everybody going to serve somebody. You see, by not making the choice to serve Jesus Christ as Lord, which really means master, kurios in the Greek, it means Lord, master, sovereign prince, king, the one to whom a person belongs. And the smart move is to serve the one to whom you originally belong. You were made in the image of God. The Bible says you were made by him and you were made for him. He deserves to be your master. He desires to be your master. And whether you choose him or not, one day you will acknowledge he is the master. Everybody serves somebody. Who are you serving this morning? Well, I don't know if I want to do that. Because you don't like change. You know, the Bible's very clear. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, our master. In Romans 10, it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as your master, confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the scripture concludes that he who believes on him will not be ashamed. I am not ashamed to confess this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And with Paul, I have not yet obtained everything. I'm not yet perfected. But I confess he is Lord. If you haven't made that choice, you've already made a choice. Make the choice. Confess Christ as master of your life this morning. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Life's mission, you see, the Bible says you were created with a purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That means God has a plan for your life. The first step of that plan is to confess his son Jesus as both Lord and Christ, as we confess this morning corporately. And then having done that, you are then placed in Christ positionally. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then that also means with that, in that new place in Christ, God now has a plan to unfold in your life. He has works for you to do. He's got something for you to do. That gives you purpose. That gives meaning to your life. That's life's mission. And even the career that you're in, you need to see the fingerprints of God, how he aligns and positions and orchestrates things, puts desires in us through his grace to awaken us to what we're to do with our lives. And if you don't know what that is, seek the Lord. Seek, knock, ask, as Matthew 7 calls upon us to do. It means a change. My family and I, we've gone through a number of changes regarding to our mission. You see, when it comes to this change, we had to have discernment of God's will and discernment of God's timing. And then life's mate. You know, for Adam, it was pretty easy, right? He just took the woman God brought to him. But you know what? That still works. You had a man who had first had relationship with God, then a woman who had first had relationship with God, then God brought the woman to the man and pronounced them husband and wife, and they became one flesh. That's marriage ordained by God. That's God's idea. Well, who am I to marry? The Lord knows. And he brought Adam's mate to him. You seek God first, get your relationship with God right, and then you'll have a knowing when the Lord brings you together with the right person. These are big decisions in our life. And there may be some that God's plan for you is not to be married. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But for most folks, these are three big decisions: life's master, life's mission, and life's mate. And I mentioned timing and discernment. The holding on and letting go. Timing and discernment is often involved. Is this for now? Is this the time when this change takes place? I remember that when Mickey and I, we were serving in Mississippi. This was a number of years ago. And God had given a vision for the church. We'd experienced a lot of growth. And it was just that time, in order to see the growth continued, we needed to build. And it would mean another building program. Our hearts just began to shift. Still loved the people, still had a passion for the Lord and all of that, but things began to shift. We began to recognize, oh, the Lord is saying, okay, that we've fulfilled our purpose here. We've led the people to this point, and the Lord has something else for us now. And then shortly thereafter, we started getting phone calls, unsolicited. It was a signal to us. So sometimes you can tell that God's bringing about a change. It's like when He begins, when He's breathing on something, you're drawn to it. You're energized by it. And sometimes you may be in the middle. You've been doing that. God's led you to that. You've been energized, and it's life-giving, and you have grace for it. But there can come a time when it, like, the grace begins to lighten and lift. And what you used to be energized by, now you're frustrated by it. It's like you're not motivated. And there can be different reasons for that. I'm assuming that, hey, you're still, you know, things are still right with you in the Lord, still right with you in the people, still right with you in the situation. It's just what you were doing before, it's not the same. That can be a sign. The Lord is not breathing on that for you for now. And so it brings about change. We've experienced that a few times in our life. It was a signal. And that's where the discernment comes. You have to go where God's peace is. I remember in seminary when we were getting close to graduation and we were, being sent to different places to preach and churches were asking us questions. And they were looking for a pastor, and there were a few situations like that. And one place, when we were there, we were excited, and it felt good. And then when we'd get back home and just pray about, Lord, is this you? No peace. No peace. Go back again, preach again, enjoy being there. Oh, Lord, go back home. No peace. You have to recognize and go with the peace of God. Move with the cloud. Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. And this is how we're to live our life. And so sometimes, when the peace is there, hold on. If the peace lifts, if you're no longer receiving grace to do what you once did joyfully, but now it's like you're having to amp yourself up and crank yourself up to do, and that can be a signal. Well, maybe God's trying to get my attention. There's a change. It's time to let go and reposition. And again, there can be other reasons, but that can be one of them, to recognize when the Lord's just saying, oh, nope, it's time for there to be a shift. And that happens. There can be a lot of reasons that happens. One thing that's for sure, that means if He's got something else for you. Now, don't take this and apply it to your marriage. Not talking about that. Some of those things are fixed, right? In covenant. I'm not talking about those fundamental things God has established and set in place. But I'm talking about in our day-to-day lives. What we're investing in. What we're investing our time, talent, and treasure in, and so forth. We have to learn to hold on and to let go. And sometimes we may be wanting to let go. Like everything says, the way you feel and what you're seeing is let go. But no, when you think about letting go, there's no peace to let go. And that's a season where I endure and I'm being patient, right? So again, it comes back to learning to be navigated by the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life. And as I've taught you many times, there's two oars on that boat. Right? One is the Spirit and the other is the Word. And that'll keep you moving in God's direction. The Spirit won't lead you to do something the Word forbids you to do. But they will work together to keep you moving in God's will and direction for your life. So the place of change is real important for us to understand. Yes, God is going to require us to change. God's going to adjust us. He's going to realign us. He's going to sometimes reassign us. But we need to learn to discern when to hold on and when to let go. That timing is so important. If you let go too soon or hold on too long, both of those can be problematic. So it's so important. You know, every great baseball pitcher understands what I'm talking about. Because pitching is all about holding on and letting go. Now, I played high school baseball, and the coach was very impressed by my velocity. I mean, I could throw one that had some smoke and heat on it. But he was very underwhelmed with my accuracy. If that boy could just get it in the strike zone, he might could make a pitcher. It'd have some heat on it, but it'd be 6 foot over the catcher's head. Finally put me at shortstop. I did all right there. I'd make some amazing catches and throw it 5 feet over the first baseman's head, you know. So holding on and letting go. It's all about timing. Timing. In the same way in our walk with the Lord. So, pay attention to that. You know, we just finished a 2-year building program here last fall. And I was amazed how God gave me grace for the season to build. It shifted my daily schedule, the number of hours. You know, Andrew and I basically lived here, and I enjoyed it. I'm a builder by trade. I enjoyed it, had grace to do it. But, you know, the closer we got to the end and moving in and transitioning here, I felt that grace start lifting it. And by the time the last day came, and I'm so ready to be out of that season. And now, back into something more normal. God gives us grace. If you don't remember anything else, please remember this. God will give you grace to do what He leads you to do. It's not about how you feel. It's about your ability to rely on God to do well what you know He's calling you to do. And if there's no grace on it, then maybe God's not on it. Paul unequivocally states to the Corinthians, I am who I am by the grace of God. I labored more abundantly than the rest of them. Not me, but the grace God gave me. Paul was saying there he was able to do what he did only by God's grace given to him. And the flip side of that is, he wouldn't have been able to do what he did had God not given him grace to do it. And that's true for you and me as well. So, there's a place of change in our life. I want to move on to the second one. And this is another consideration. And we think about hold on and let go is the battle between faith and fear in our lives. Isn't that usually what's going on when we're feeling like, oh, there's some kind of change? It's the uncertainty, the fear of the unknown. Again, we like normal. We like routine. Now, some people are more adventurous and they like new things constantly, but that's their normal. They get uncomfortable if they're not getting something new every 5 minutes. So you need to know what your normal is. You know, God requires change out of all of us. The battle between faith and fear in our lives. Faith, here, I'm simply speaking, doing what God says, obeying God's word, doing what's right, living in God's will. It takes faith. The Bible says four times, the just shall live by faith. Literally, the just man shall live by his faith. See, not only will God give you grace to do what he calls you to do, but God will require faith out of you to do what he's called you to do. And here's the way that works. To keep you from doing what you do for him out of your own resources, you have to, by faith, rely upon God's grace to do what he gives you to do. If you're in the middle of God's will and he's called you to do something and you're struggling with it, or I just don't know if I can do this, well, that's right. But by God's grace, you can. You can do all things through Christ who is your strength. God gives us grace to do what we're unable to do in and of ourselves. It's not always the gifted, the talented people that are on the cutting edge, front running for the Lord. It's the willing. It's the people may not be nearly as gifted or talented or skilled, have the skill sets that someone else has, but the person that says, you know what, I may not be gifted, I may not have the talents, I may not be as good as other people, but what I do have is I have a yes in my heart to whatever God requires of me, and I'll step by faith out by faith and do what God's given me to do. That's where you'll see the Holy Spirit moving. That's where you'll see things happening. That's the place where God's working. And there's going to be faith required. Grace will be given, but faith will be required. God will take care of the grace part. You've got to supply the faith part. Will you trust God? In my 40 years of ministry, I've seen people 40 years old, 50 years old, and older. You know what? I'm going back to college. And do crazy stuff like that. And yet, you watch them do that. I remember a number of years ago, and a lady that was close to 50, and the Lord called her. She just always wanted to be a nurse. She went back to school. You know what? She took a step of faith. It was hard. She had to study. It had been a long time. But God gave her grace. And the next thing you know, she's in the hospital, and her ministry is ministering to the sick in the hospitals as a nurse. Don't you tell God you can't do something when God's requiring it of you. You may not have the want to, but you'll have the grace to. And God can deal with a, I don't want to. You know, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's called dying to flesh. That's called letting God have his way instead of you having your way. Not my will, but yours be done. Faith wins the day. And if your faith is not being called upon, if you're not being stretched some way to believe for God to do something, then listen more carefully. This is the Christian life. God's working to form Christ in us. Romans 8, 28 and 29 go together. He's working all things together for good. But what he's working things together for is to form Christ in you. To conform us into the image of his own dear son. He's the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord wants his other sons and daughters to look like his only begotten son, Jesus. And what a head start we get the day we get saved, because we're taken, plopped right into Christ, given access to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. All kind of great, crazy, wild, wonderful, supernatural things start happening. That's when our faith springs to life. And it should be a lifelong process for us all. There will always be a battle between faith and fear in our life when it comes to, am I going to hold on or am I going to let go? Sometimes it takes a lot of faith to keep holding on. Some of you are here this morning, as Mandy mentioned and exhorted you. Some of you are here, maybe you're going through it, and you've been battling. Is God really for me? Is God in this? I declare over you this morning, he is working all things together for good. I declare over you, faithful is he who is calling you, who will also do it. I will declare over you that God is faithful. He is a promise-keeping God. You keep standing on his promise. You keep declaring his word. You keep doing the will of God. Do not Take your hand off the plow. Do not look back and yearn for Egypt. There's not a better way to live than to live for Christ. There's not a better life to live than to live for Christ. All the seducer may come by and he may remind you of moments of pleasure in the old way of living, but none of that will compare to what Christ will do for you, not only in the world to come, but in the here and now. You can't order off Amazon the peace that only God can bring to your heart. You can't find it at Walmart on the shelves, the joy that Jesus can give you. Neither can you find it in a bottle of the bottom of a bottle or inside a pill bottle. You can't find it there, but you can find it in the book. You can find it by the Spirit. You can find it in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let God be true, every man a liar. Put your faith in Christ. Paul had given years and years of his life studying to be a Pharisee. And when he met Christ, he looked at his degrees and all that. And it wasn't that they weren't valuable. God used them mightily. I think that's part of the reason he was chosen to record so much of the New Testament. He was grounded in the Old Testament. But his willingness to look at that through a new set of lens to Christ, who is our life, opened up the revelation of the new covenant to him. We have so much revelation because of Paul's willingness to let go and take hold of Christ. He said it this way. He said, I'm taking hold of Christ because Christ has taken hold of something for me. And that's what I want. What Christ died to give me. What Christ died for me to have, that's what I want. I'm taking hold of what he's taken hold of for me. He said, I'm not perfected. And by the way, don't let your perfection keep you from taking steps of faith. Sometimes we have the idea, well, if I can just get it all just right, if I can just, when it's just right, then you take those steps of faith. God works in the real, in the raw, in the middle, and then he builds something beautiful out of that. It can just be a form of fear. Go with God. Give him some clay to work with. Watch what he forms out of it. There's going to always be a battle between faith and fear. I remember growing up, had a little creek. And we back in those days, you know, when you were 8, 9, 10, leave the house all day long, walk for miles back in the woods and play with other kids and then come back home. I'm not recommending that in today's world, but that's the way we lived. But we had a creek and a tree and had a rope. And you could take that rope and back up the hill and get a run and go, hang on to that rope. I'm coming at you now. Whoa. Hang onto that rope and swing out over the water. And it was so fun because, you know, you would try to peek out and then let go. Water bomb. You know, it's so much fun. Well, one of our boys, his first time, he got a hold of that rope. Here he came a running. He swung out, but he was afraid to let go. Well, he had not had physics yet. So he swung out there, and instead of releasing, he held on. And so he came back, and we're saying, let go, let go, let go. And he did, after he walked the side of that hill real good. Bruised him up pretty good. You got to know when to hold on and when to let go. I still have etched in my memory my dad teaching me to ride a bicycle. Got a little red bicycle. It had training wheels on it. Well, I could pedal that thing up and down the driveway. Then the day came. Dad said, I'm taking those training wheels off today. He took them off. I sat on that thing and wobbled. You know, he was holding me. And here we go. Daddy was walking with me. I started pedaling. You know how you're going left and right and trying to keep a balance, pedaling. He'd let it go. And then, you know, I'd start falling. He'd grab me. Well, we did that several times. And I started getting a little bit of the hang of it. And I still remember the moment he was walking with me, walking, and then he let go. And I pedaled on. That's such an exhilarating feeling. And in our walk with God, there's times when we're afraid to let go. But see, here's the thing about our Heavenly Father. Even though we can't see Him, He's still right there. He's got us. He's got us. He's got us. But there's always that battle between fear and faith. Will you trust God or not? If you're not trusting Him, what are you trusting? And sometimes other things can cause us to not want to let go, not just fear. Sometimes we just don't want to let go because we want what we want. We can be rather a stubborn lot at times. I'm speaking primarily from my own personal history. But we can be stubborn and we can want what we want. We're kind of like the old-timers would make a raccoon trap. You know, what they'd do is they would take a hollow log and or box. They'd make a box and they'd like hollow a hole out in the box. And then they'd put something shiny down in that box and put it like at the edge of the creek. Those raccoons would come and they'd look down in there and they'd see something shiny and they'd reach their paw down in there and grab it. You know, it was just a small object, grab it. And then they couldn't get their paw out when it was clenched. They knew just the size to make the hole. And they would end up catching that raccoon because he wouldn't let go. All they had to do was let go of what was in his hand. And we can be greedy. We can be selfish. Not want to let go. And it ends up ensnaring us. And in our Western world, if we're not careful, we can let the material possessions of this world, they get a hold of us, and we get a hold of them, we don't want to let them go. But Jesus reminds us that what's important in life is not in the abundance that a man possesses. I hope you know Jesus this morning. Quickly, I want you to consider also the fueling of passion in our lives. Did you notice when I read that out of Philippians, Paul has given us this contrast of who he was before and who he now is in Christ. And he says, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are past, I press forward toward the mark, the goal of the prize, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Could it be perhaps this morning that you're not able to move forward into your future because of what's happened in your past? See, this is one of the beautiful things that Paul discovered in his walk with Christ. Earlier in Philippians 3, when he was given his pedigree, he said, zeal? Oh, I was zealous. I persecuted the church. But when we get to this passage I read for you, out of Philippians 3, he said, I press on. I press toward the mark. The word means I pursue. It's like a hunter after prey. It's like trying to catch or capture something, that idea. And Paul said, the old me, I was pursuing, persecuting, same root word, capturing Christians. That's how zealous I was. But the new me, now I'm pursuing Christ. I'm wanting everything He has for me. I'm wanting to lay hold of Him. And he says, I stretch toward. That's athletic imagery from the Olympic Games. The runner, there's a metaphor here being used. I'm reaching forward, you know, like the runner does at the finish line to break the tape the way they do today. He says, I'm stretching. That's what I'm seeking. I'm pursuing. I'm going after Christ and all that Christ has for me. That's my life. The old life, I was trying to capture, arrest, kill, persecute Christians. You see, you've got a new passion as a believer. And the fueling of your passion really affects holding on and letting go. This one thing, are you pursuing Christ? Then what you're holding to that you think God may be dealing with, is it getting in your way of pursuing Christ? Is it hindering your run to reach for all God has for you? You need to let go of some things. Sometimes they're really good things. It's just they've taken the place of what's best. And they become idols in our life. And so we look at those things and say, no longer. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. That's part of how I used to live, but now I'm reaching forward. This is my future. Oh, the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Paul would, in the next chapter of this letter to the Philippians, would remind us that God gets to us what we need in our life based on the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can you envision that? A treasure room filled with riches, that God is saying, hey, I've got all of this to release into your life. What are those riches? That He's going to release into your life whatever is needed for you to fulfill God's will for your life. Whatever God's leading you to do, He'll provide for you to do. We're in this building. God's being faithful. We will see our center of creativity come into being. And that's going to require faith, and we're going to stretch because that's part of what God is calling us to. Our passion has to be centered on Christ. That's when the grace is coming. We have to stir up the gifts within us. We have to fan them into flame. Peter talks about stirring ourselves up. Paul does. You find that in the New Testament, that idea. There's something we can do to keep our passion level where it needs to be. He feeds those who hunger. He gives drink to those who thirst. That's our faith crying out for more. And with God, there's always more. The last thing, the defining moments in our lives. What precipitated all this change in Paul? Well, you find that in Acts chapter 9. When he was on his way to Damascus to arrest some more Christians, and he was encountered by Jesus Christ Himself on the Damascus Road. He was blinded for 3 days. God sent a man by the name of Ananias to pray for him, laid hands on him. He prophesied Paul's future to him of what he would do, that he would stand before kings, the house of Israel, and the Gentiles. He baptized him. I believe at that time, Paul also, that's when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was a defining moment. It reoriented the whole direction of his life. And God may be dealing with you this morning who are believers about something that's kind of going to alter the direction and course of your life. But if it's God doing it, it'll be good. And if it's not, hold on. Don't go where He's not leading. Oh, but it's so difficult right now. I know this is the season I'm in, but God will be faithful to you. Live by faith, not your feelings. These defining moments in our life, you see them, people taking that step of faith and stepping up. Young David, I'll go out and face Goliath. Oh, they laughed at him, but their laughter soon died out as the cries of, David has slain, Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain tens of thousands. God can do that 180 thing for you too. People may be trying to discourage you and tell you what you can't do. Listen, if somebody's telling you can't do it while God's telling you you can do it, you got a choice to make. If you make the right choice, it's going to bring about some blessed change in your life. It'll become a defining moment in your life, just like it is Paul. He said, all that I worked so hard to do, rubbish. Or one interpretation is, it is a pile of manure on what God had for us. God, I think God specializes in that. dog will be fighting over that bone. And the Lord will say, he'll show us how to get a dog to let go of a bone. You throw a fresh piece of meat out there. Moses forsook the treasures of Egypt. But look what he gained. Go with God. Trust Christ fully. Trust Christ completely. And then you see the opposite kind of decisions made. They're about to do the Last Supper. And then Judas decides, I'm going to go through with it. I'm going to betray him. And Satan entered into his heart. And not many hours later, he goes out and he hangs himself. Hold on. Let go. Takes discernment. Following the Holy Spirit. But it results in changed lives. Some of you here this morning, maybe you've been holding on to your past. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. I've seen people hold on to the back of a pew or hold on to the back of a seat, and you can tell God's dealing with them. Their knuckles become white. They don't want to let go. And there's been through the years I've seen people in that place, maybe Sunday after Sunday, but then there comes that time when they let go and they trust Christ. And it's like, why did I wait so long? My only regret, I should have been saved sooner. You don't know what you don't have until you have it. And once you have Christ, you don't want to trade. Some of you maybe you've confessed Christ, but fear has kept you out of the waters of baptism. Or maybe you just think, well, it's not that important. He commands you to be baptized. That's between you and the Lord Jesus. But you need to be careful about having a no in your heart when Jesus is saying, repent and be baptized. Take that step of faith. Align with God's will. See what happens. Maybe some of you, he's been dealing with you about becoming a part of the mission and vision of this church, a part of our church family here at Grace House. Take that step of faith and watch God's grace meet you at the place where you say, yes, Lord, if this is what you have for me, I'm saying yes to it. Watch God move. Watch God work. Some of you, maybe you've been, you know, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't know about that, but I'm kind of convinced now that's real. I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life. Trust God for it. Believe today. Come up. And as our worship team comes, you come up. Let someone lay hands on you and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be saved today. You can make the commitment to be baptized today. You can receive prayer to be baptized with the Holy Spirit today. You can receive prayer to be healed today. Whatever breakthrough you may be needing, whatever your need is, there are riches in glory that are found in Christ Jesus. That's the key. They're waiting on you today. Come to Christ. Come to Christ in His fullness. He will judge the living and the dead. He will judge you. There will come a time when your life will be judged against what Christ has accomplished on the cross for you and your acceptance or refusal thereof. Come to Christ today. We are all sinners, separated from a holy God that calls us to live righteously and godly in this present age and promises us the grace to do so. If you have not called upon Jesus as Lord of your life, come today and give your life to Christ as we stand across this room. If you're a believer and you have not followed Him into the waters of baptism, come today and make it known. And we will put your name on the list and we'll have a baptism soon. My prayer is there's a yes in every heart. What are you holding on to? And you know that God's requiring you to let go of that. Forget those things that are behind you. Reach out for what God has for you today. Take hold of that. Let go of those things that God's requiring you to let go of. And in this world in which we're living, in this present age, again, I mentioned this last Sunday, but listen to me. It is imperative that we become discipled and grounded in the Word of God. Basic, simple things that we once took for granted and would have laughed at the notion. Those things are being challenged today. Those truths tested by time, upheld by eternity, are being challenged, scoffed, and mocked at. You let go of the stuff the world's trying to seduce you into, and you hold on to the faith once delivered to the saints. Don't remove those ancient landmarks that have been established in the Word of God. Don't change the unchangeables. God, help us that we are having numbers of ministers who used to stand in the pulpit and proclaim Jesus Christ, who are signing up for courses to deconstruct their Christian beliefs. They have heard the lying whispers of Satan. They are trying to move those ancient landmarks, those fundamental teachings of the early church, long-held beliefs that were established by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must earnestly contend in this hour for these things. Parents, make sure your children know these things. We're a family here. Let's war together. Let's worship together. Let's stand together. Let's lock arms together. Let's encourage one another. If you're being tempted, if you're being swayed by some of that, lock arms with some brothers and sisters. Let's get together. Let's talk. Let's pray. Diagnosing the lies, embracing the truth, and be set free. For whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Our prayer team members are coming now. They're here at this altar. And I encourage you this morning, if you need prayer, if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you this morning, step out from where you're standing and come, and we'll be here to pray with you. Just step out right now. We're going to begin to worship. Go ahead right now. Begin worshiping. And you come. Holy Spirit, have your way in every heart. Meet the hunger in this room. Lord, supply the needs in this room.
Your love is higher than the mountain.
Would you come? Let God love on
your
you this
grace
morning.
Is deeper than
leave your
the
sin
sea.
Behind you. Reach for the Savior before you. Come to Jesus.
Your mercy never ceases to
God
amaze.
Is more than able to help you this morning.
And day after day, your love for me remains. Your love.
He's releasing grace to help you this morning. Take that step of faith. Now is the time. Come and receive.
Your grace is deeper.
Are there others? You come.
Your mercy, it never ceases to amaze me. And day after day, your love for me. In my heart, I'm crying out for you. Wrap your arms
Holy
around
Spirit, have
this
your way.
Heart of mine.
Jesus be glorified. You come.
Each and every day, Lord, I give you all my praise. And I am falling so in love with you. Your love is higher than the mountain.
Maybe it's bitterness you need to let go of. Unforgiveness. Some polluting habit. Let it go. Are there others? For another moment, come, please come.
Morning by morning, my eyes have seen the sun, and all of my worries fade away.
I encourage you, saints, pray in the Spirit. I encourage those in need, come.
You are the music of my heart.
Are there others? Please don't leave here this morning holding on to something that the Lord's saying, let go. And please don't leave here this morning holding on or letting go of something that God says, no, you hold on to that. Are there others? You may need some more of our staff to come and be here to pray and help. Are there others? I plead with you. Don't walk away if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now. Step into this. Grace will meet you in that place. God will help you. I just want to speak out something that you weigh this. This would be for one particular person. And I just encourage you to respond and make this known. Somebody needs to pray with you and you need to seal this. But I'm just feeling and seeing in 2013 there was someone here. You had a car accident. And it was pretty bad. And I feel like the Lord is saying that He did for you what you asked Him to do when that happened. He's saying, I need you to do what you promised you'd do. I think that's pretty specific for someone here this morning. I encourage you to come. I believe God's really wanting to do something significant in your life. And stretch forth your hands. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. May we, with the Apostle Paul, be able to say, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are past. Lord, we are pressing forward to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. We're pursuing you, Lord Jesus. I pray the Holy Spirit would just energize and empower you this week to live for Christ. I pray that God's grace would overwhelm you as you take steps of faith this week. I pray the peace of God would guard your heart and mind this week as your mind is stayed upon Him. I pray that you would be a powerful witness this week, that you would be surrounded about by God's holy angels, that you would hear the Lord's voice, you would do the Lord's bidding. I pray that He would prosper you in every step you take in response to His word to do His will. I pray that He would bless you. I pray that He would keep you. I pray that He would watch over you. I pray that His goodness would manifest into your life, that His mercy and His grace would manifest in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, let's thank the Lord this morning for our worship time today. Now, this altar remains open. If you need ministry, just come on up. God bless you. You may fellowship now. Feel free to linger, leave when you like. Thank you for being with us today. God's blessing upon you all.